Life is about constant evolution. Always better today than we were yesterday.
Welcome back to another edition of The Only Easy Day Was Yesterday. I'm Scott Williams, and with me again is Andrew Dow, SOAS coordinator for Naval Special Warfare Center. And Andrew, welcome back.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for having me. It's always great to come in here and, you know, just do some talking about SOAS and about the community and see how we're doing and get that answers to the questions that a lot of people have out there answered for them.
Yeah, on that note, we do have a whole electronic mailbag full of emails from folks who have questions about SOAS. And we'll remind you, SOAS is?
So SOAS, Seal Officer Assessment Selection.
Thank you.
Held once a year, three blocks of training during the summer, and applications are due in February. And can I just put one thing out, Scott?
Yeah, what's up?
Something that's interesting and a lot of questions I get is... you know, a lot of reference back to these podcasts, and thank you for allowing us to do this. But something I want to add to all the listeners out there is if you do have specific questions, please reach out to me. I'll leave my email on the website of sealswick.com so you can reach out. But if you have questions that you want answered on a podcast, please send them directly to me, and I'll hopefully get invited again by you, Scott, and have a conversation and answer some of those questions.
Well, it would be our honor. We actually get quite a few questions about SOAS. And, you know, basically SOAS is how we pick our Navy SEAL officers now. And it's a pretty formal process. It happens before candidates are actually allowed to come to BUDS and go through the pipeline. It's this pre-selection process. Mm-hmm. It's pretty rigorous, and we've refined it over the years here at Naval Special Warfare Center, and you've been here since the ground floor. And a lot of these questions, you know, of course we get the same ones, you know, quite frequently, but we also get a lot of interesting questions. And if I might, I'll just start out with one of those.
Okay.
And I thought it was particularly interesting because we always talk about the physical aspects of SOAS. But this listener actually wanted to know more about the interview process and the writing assessments. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So a quick intro to that is before you even get to interviews at SOAS, you have to complete assessment week, right? The 5 days assessment week. Upon completion of that, then you will move into interviews and other exposure type activities that SOAS staff provides for the candidate to kind of get a better idea of what the community is doing in a junior officer role and capabilities. But during assessment week, that's when you'll do writing assignments. I think right now we have slotted, I believe, two different writing assignments. And don't freak out. Those questions, it's not like really challenging essay questions, but it is important topics that relate to world issues. We like to have writing assignments that lead towards debates and how we'll give you a side that you have to be either for or against and debate that topic. Writing assignments include, hey, what's your opinion on the current footprint of some of those larger nations that we are kind of bumping heads with, those types of political and world issues that we're dealing with. We want to get your opinion on those, and that's some of the writing assignments you'll see. As for the time frame for interviews is usually you'll conduct two interviews during the second week of your SOAS block that you attend. One will be a psychological interview with Naval Special Warfare Center's psychologists. And then following that, you will complete a community interview, which is held by a SEAL officer and a senior enlisted. So a senior enlisted is someone who is an E7 or above. That could be a chief, a senior chief, a master chief, a warrant officer that will sit down and kind of give you a job interview for about 90 minutes. And they're going to ask you real questions. They want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear just the fluffed up cookie cutter answers. They want to hear really what your thoughts are on the questions they ask. And, you know, they can see right through you if you're trying to give the answer that they want to hear. You need to give the answer that you believe in. And that's something we truly look at.
A little originality, absolutely, a little creativity, something to show how your mind works, that it's spry and not rigid.
Right.
You know, because SEAL officer is someone who is a SEAL, but someone who is also an officer. Mm-hmm. And that officer part requires them to be eloquent in how they convey their thoughts. You're going to be briefing an admiral someday or briefing, you know, this, that, or the other person. You got to be able to do written communication reasonably well.
Absolutely.
Know, need to be able to speak.
These are all great points. Absolutely. And it is so important, just like you said, you're an officer first, you know, and your job is a SEAL. So it is so important to ensure that you are, you know, being true to yourself and being an acceptable role model and representation of the United States Navy.
Okay. That's a nice look at, you know, the head piece of all this, how you think and, you know, how you respond. But a more general question we got was, hey, you know, what are the training evolutions like at SOAS? And, you know, like what specifically, what are some of the more notable events and what does the day-to-day look like?
Okay, so candidates check in. The SOAS blocks start on a Saturday, but the actual physical evolutions won't be until Sunday. So the first evolution that any candidate will complete is the SEAL PST, which consists of 500-yard swim, 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups in 2 minutes, max pull-ups, and then a mile-and-a-half run. The run is in shorts and sneakers, so people aren't confused. You do not have to run the run in boots and camouflage utilities, but that's the first evolution you need to do. And if you fail that, you get sent home because you're expected to perform and meet our expectations on day one, right? So it is important that aspiring SEAL candidates know that, you know, you submit a PST in order to get down selected to be invited to SOAS. That PST needs to be passing, but not just passing. I mean, on the SEAL SWIC website, we have optimum scores for the PST for SEAL officers. That can be referenced and looked at, but you know, you should be striving to do the best you can and to either match that or beat that at SOAS proper. So it's Sunday. That's the big nail biting evolution on Sunday. Monday is when things physically kick off. I won't go into the micro of evolutions, but I'll give the generalities of it. You will see logs just like in BUDS. You'll see boats just like in BUDS, whether it's on your head running around or in the surf paddling out and doing some surf passage. Some things candidates will see that they may not show do as much in BUDS is rucking. The candidates will be expected to run with a 45-pound rucksack. Basically, it's just a sandbag inside of a backpack. And they'll be expected to run an unknown distance for an unknown amount of time at max effort. And that their time will be calculated into their overall SOAS score.
That's in boots.
And that is in boots and in naval NWU Type 3s, which are the green navy pattern camouflage. I'm used to saying BDUs, as a lot of us older fellows are, right? But it's NWUs. They will, so the ruck run's a big one, but not just physical evolutions. There's going to be some mentally challenging evolutions for these candidates to attack. Some being, there could be memory tests, there could be communications over radios. You know, we'll give them a scripted communications dialogue that we will be reading one end, they'll be reading the other while they're doing a physical evolution, and they need to be able to answer the questions we're sending to them clearly, concisely, in a proper radio etiquette form.
Right.
So, for example, like they could be running, you know, a 4 mile run, but they have a radio in their hand and we're going to ask them a really challenging math question. Or maybe we'll ask them, hey, who is the Secretary of Defense? Or just random questions. Or maybe we'll give them a scenario and pretend that they're a ground force commander within the SEAL teams and give them an put them in an example where they have to problem solve and, hey, what's your best, how would you approach this while they're doing the physical evolutions? So we're going to challenge the candidates when they're at SOAS, especially during the evolution phases.
And these really have practical applications.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've heard
absolutely
about, you know, being on a dead run and under fire and still having to call in, mm-hmm. you know, air to ground support or whatever.
We try to incorporate real life situations that, you know, these potential SEAL officers may see, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, the world's changing, the enemies, it's different than what it was 10 years ago, but you need to be prepared for the basics and be able to do what, you know, what we're trained to do, whether it's, you know, on land, air, sea, whatever it may be, we need to be able to perform and perform well and successfully when we're put under stress. So that we're testing that. I mean, other evolutions that they'll see is there'll be some water evolutions. There's can be some evolutions with utilizing the obstacle O course, but they won't formally do the O course as they do in BUDS, but they will be challenged with some kind of evolution regarding the O course.
Yeah.
But a lot of the evolutions physical happens right where BUDS is, right next door on the same beach, on the same area that all the BUDS students are going through. So everything that they do during SOAS will give them a kind of idea what to expect if they get invited and selected to BUDS.
Yeah, it's quite the preview. And we have all new facilities now. Basic Training Command has a brand new building, got a brand new pool out there. But the sand is the sand and the O course is still the O course.
Yes.
Well, let's take a look at another question that we have from one of our listeners. One of our many listeners. My producer here tells me, what are the top three traits that make a great team leader?
Ooh,
which of course is something they're going to be looking for during SOAS.
So let's first define team leader, right? That may be a new term for candidates coming into the military. Team leader, think of it as like the team captain or the president of a club or the person who's in charge, the officer in charge, OIC. Team leader can also be an enlisted personnel, the senior man or woman that's in charge of a specific task. But what traits we're looking for team leaders, I think the most common and most obvious one is you need to set the example, lead from the front, be that person that others are going to look to for guidance and for influence and for motivation to be able to complete the task at hand. We also have some things as a team leader when you'll be incorporated this as soon as you get to SOAS is everyone will be separated through height line specifically, just like in BUDS, and they'll be designated boat crew leaders. That is a leadership position that we're going to be assessing specifically so that we can get a good read on their leadership qualities and capabilities. And we will rotate every candidate through this position so they all get an opportunity to shine or sink. Honestly, that's the whole point of this, is to get data on the candidate so we can make a educated and a exact determination on who would be selected to go
and
to
you're still doing peer evals, right?
Yes, yep.
Yeah, talk to us a little bit about that.
Peer evals. So we have peer evals and assessor evals. What an assessor is, when you come to SOAS, there's going to be instructors, right? They're going to be the ones leading the evolutions, making sure everything's run safely and according to how we planned everything. But on top of that, there will be SEAL and SWIC, as well as combat personnel that are supporting Naval Special Warfare to serve as assessors. What their role is to, one, and to make sure everyone knows this, is everyone, nothing outranks safety. So they're always watching to ensure that everything is being run safely. If they see something, they say something. But their primary role is to ensure that data is being collected on the traits we're looking for in SOAS. Those traits being team ability, right? Working as a team, physicality, how physically strong and how well you are performing under stress, your cognitive ability, how well you think on your feet with mental challenges and types of classroom work or those, as we I discussed earlier, the writing assignments or the debates that we talk about. So cognitive ability, and probably one of the most important ones is character, right? Who you are as an individual, who you are as a person, and how you relate with others. So those four things is the things we are looking at, and that's what the role of the assessor is to each evolution we'll be looking at one, two, three, or even all four character traits, traits, and they will be documenting how each candidate hits those traits. So for example, you and me are under a Boku, Scott, and I'm the Boku leader. So right now I'm being assessed for my character and my team ability and physicality, since we're under a boat. So those three traits would be being assessed. The assessor's watching the boat crew leader, but also watching every boat crew to see how they're performing. Are they following the directions of the boat crew leader? Is the boat crew leader giving clear and concise guidance on what they need to do? Is he or her pushing his or her boat crew through the evolution and trying to do the best they can? These are all being documented on a score. Mm-hmm. And these scores get added to their overall data card. And that data card collects all the scores throughout the SOAS evolutions, and those points then get added up, and then you get a total score at the end of SOAS.
And the peer eval, that comes as part of it?
Thank you. And so to circle back, what the peer eval is, the assessors have their evaluation where they look at each individual candidate and assess whether this candidate is doing great, if he or she is slacking, or if they're just being a gray man. I'm sure some of the listeners heard that term, but that is a big term in the NSW. Gray man being someone who's, hey, just there, not really putting out the effort or making themselves heard, but they're just getting through. So you don't want to be a gray man, not in our community. But the peer evals, each individual candidate will rank their peers. So I believe we do five throughout the week. And, you know, I understand some of the beginning ones will be challenging because most of these candidates don't know each other. Unless you're a Naval Academy guy or gal, ROTC may know each other, but they're from all over. So it gives an opportunity for each candidate to grade and give a score to each other candidate on a score of, I believe it's 0 to 5, 5 being, hey, this person is someone I would love to serve with. They, in my eyes, represent what a good SEAL officer should be, in their opinion. Or 1 to where, hey, this person is very risky and is unsafe on certain evolutions. So they are rating each other throughout the week. So in the beginning, like I said, they may not know each other, but towards the end of the week, those peer evaluations are very important because now they're getting to know each other, what's happening behind the scenes and what the assessors and instructors don't see. The peer's evaluation will show what's actually happening.
Okay, and so the peer evals, those are weighted into the overall composite score. Like how much of a percentage would the opinions of my fellow SOAS participants have on my outcome?
I'm not really free to speak on the scoring of SOAS specifics. That is a close hold secret we don't really want to share with the audience. But what I can tell you is the peer evaluations does carry some bearing and weight. It may not be the end all be all thing that the selection panel looks at when we're looking at candidates, mm-hmm. but it does raise interesting talking points for the interview process. So for example, if when we have their scorecard at the end of the week and there's a lot of red meaning bad, those red points are going to be addressed during the interview to see if they're truly what their peers think they are. Right, we want to get an understanding, and this helps us really understand the whole person and ensure that we're selecting the correct candidates to go on to BUDS. So
I don't have to worry if I'm participating in SOAS, I don't have to worry too much about winning the popularity contest, but I do have to take a reasonable person approach to this and not be, a jerk to all my classmates and not that, expect
those,
some
those
kind
are
of
great points.
You know,
yeah.
Blowback from that.
Several years ago we had a candidate who the term brown nosing. And the instructor saw that right away. And it was very clear that they were saying what the instructors wanted them to say in front of the instructors. But when it came to when the instructors or assessors weren't around, they completely did a 180. I mean, we weren't born yesterday. We're going to see these types of candidates and we're going to understand that, hey, this person's just playing the game. Understanding, though, there is parts where you have to play the game, right? But at the end, we want to ensure that what we like to see is, you know, candidates are good people. They care about what they're doing and care about the person they're doing it with, right? And that they are doing the best that they can, even when no one's looking.
Integrity. Yeah, genuine authenticity, I think, would go a long
perfect, way. Perfectly stated. Well, it's true. I mean, you know, I'm not just on here to say that, hey, we're looking for X, Y, and Z, but we want good people in this community. This community is a great community, and we only want the best for it. So that's why we're looking for the best candidates that can come here and continue the tradition of Naval Special Warfare.
Well, and I don't think you can say there is...
from an officer's point.
Like a penultimate example of someone that is, you know, the icon of NSW per se, right? Because you want a lot of diversity of background and experiences on the teams because that makes you stronger, right?
Without a doubt. Diversity, different life experiences, all these things add up to make a better operator in the end and being a better officer to lead men and women in combat.
If it and comes better down team, to team, I would imagine.
Oh, without a doubt.
So let's say I'm the lucky person and I get notification that I am invited to SOAS. And, I've got 4 to 6 weeks before that happens. What do you recommend I should do in those last few weeks before going to SOAS? This is a question, specific question from one of our listeners. How do you spend those last, let's say, 4 to 6 weeks before SOAS, preparing?
So before I hit on that, one of the big things is candidates showing up with injuries, that they sustained because they trained too hard. I'm not a physical expert. I'm not a coach. I don't have a plan for you, but it goes without saying you should be peaking at SOAS. You should be peaking at BUDS. So when you show up, you should be in the top, all cylinders firing, top performance capabilities that you have, and show that off at SOAS. And if you go to BUDS, same thing. So within those last six weeks prior to, you should be meeting your personal records in long distance running, in your swim times, in your rucking. You should be hitting your personal goals and feel like you can do this nonstop, without hurting yourself. You do, because it's happened so many times since I've been here where candidates 6 weeks show up to SOAS and they said, oh, I was training extra, and they show up to SOAS injured, and then they're a great candidate on paper, but they show up and it's just they're not cutting it because they hurt themselves. They overtrained.
I mean, should they be taking the cold showers and,
That's not necessary. Either, right? That fable where, hey, I need to take a cold shower every night to be prepared for the cold oceans of the Pacific. Let me tell you, it's going to be cold no matter what. The ocean in the Pacific's beautiful, but it is cold.
Yeah.
That is just something you got to deal with, and that's one of the mental challenges. But the bottom line is 6 weeks out, your training, you should have a good training regimen. You should be meeting your goals of your personal records, what you want to do, and your scores you want to meet. But the important thing is to stay healthy, continue to maintain good nutrition, good health, stretching, and not getting injured prior to going to SOAS. It's just so important, and it really, breaks our heart from an instructor or assessor or from my point of view to see a candidate that, all they wanted to do was be a SEAL officer and then to show up and get hurt and then have to wait a whole nother year to apply and attend. It's very challenging. But that's why I say 6 weeks out, 2 weeks out, start to taper down, start to rest, recover. That's something you should be all planning to do anyway after every evolution that you do at home, whether it's working out at the gym, going for a long run or a swim. Make sure you're having a rest and recovery period after the fact so that you are healed to continue training whenever that may be.
Yeah. and get some sleep. I mean, last thing you want to do is deselect yourself because you got injured overtraining for buds.
Yes.
Got that. Should they be, you know, studying their NFL or their NSW lore and, you know, trivia and all that? Are they going to get asked those kind of questions?
Absolutely. I mean, you're coming into a community. You should know something about it, right?
Yeah.
Know the date it was created, which teams are where. I know, right? The evens on the east, odds on the west.
Mm-hmm.
Just knowing just simple facts about it is important. I suggest everyone read the SEAL ethos, right? That's a lot of truth, a lot of experience. Senior leaders came together and put that ethos together, and it's a great piece of work and something that you know, I still follow, and it's something that SEALs follow and live by, and it is important that candidates know what they're signing up for, what they want to become. So it's important to know the background of where they're going.
Right, you don't go to Burger King and ask for a Big Mac. So.
No, you don't. No.
Treat it like an actual job interview, yeah. And be ready and know what you're getting into. Sounds good. Well, thank you again for answering some of these questions. We get tons of them on SOAS. And,
yeah. And just again, everyone listening, just if you have questions, shoot me an email so I can address, you know, I can come back on a podcast and talk to Scott here and get those questions answered for you.
All right. Andrew, thank you very much. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for another episode of The Only Easy Day Was Yesterday. I'm Scott Williams. We'll see you next time.
There's nowhere to hide in Hell Week, gents. If you've been skating through bugs so far, you will not do so any longer.
Exactly right.